Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson. This program is aimed at English learners, so we speak a little slower, and we use words and phrases, especially written, for people learning English.
We also explain words and language rules, all while bringing you stories and information from around the world. Today on the program, you will hear stories from Brian Lynn, Katie Weaver, and Alice Bryant. Later, we will tell you what's trending today and bring you this week's lesson in everyday grammar. But first, here is Brian Lynn.
Some Americans are criticizing the Federal Bureau of Investigation for possibly influencing the U.S. presidential election. The criticism started last Friday after the Bureau's director, James Comey, sent a letter to Congress. The letter said the FBI was reopening an investigation of former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton's emails. The emails were written before she became the Democratic Party's candidate for president. Comey told Congress that the FBI was studying a new group of emails. He said they were found in a separate investigation involving former Congressman Anthony Weiner, the husband of top Clinton advisor Huma Abedin. Comey said his agency was examining the emails to learn if they had information important to the earlier investigation of Clinton. In 2015, the FBI began investigating her use of a private email server while she worked as America's top diplomat. The investigation was launched to discover whether Clinton had sent secret government information through the private email server. Comey told Congress earlier that the FBI had completed its investigation into Clinton's emails. In July, he announced the agency had not found enough evidence to charge her with any crime. But he did say the investigation found that she had been extremely careless in her email practices. Historically, federal government agencies have attempted not to get involved in politics during election campaigns. A law called the Hatch Act sets limits on the political activities of federal employees. Some members of the Democratic Party and at least one Republican accused Comey of possibly violating the Hatch Act by making his announcement. The FBI director has said he felt that informing Congress was the right thing to do because he had earlier said the investigation was over. Hillary Clinton's campaign criticized Comey for making the announcement without providing any information about what was in the emails. The candidate called the action unprecedented and deeply troubling. She predicted that FBI officials this time would come to the same decision as before, saying there is no case. On Wednesday, President Barack Obama seemed to question Comey's judgment. While not talking about the FBI director by name, Obama answered a question from the website Now This about Comey's action. The president told the site he has been careful not to look like he is meddling in Comey's decision. But he added that there are rules that need to be followed.
I do think that there is a norm that, you know, when there are investigations, we don't operate on innuendo, we don't operate on incomplete information, we don't operate on leaks.
Richard Painter once worked as a lawyer in the administration of former President George W. Bush. Painter, now a law professor at the University of Minnesota, says it was wrong for Comey to release the information so close to the election without providing further explanation.
This is an extraordinary violation, I think, particularly serious, because we're talking about trying to use the FBI to go after political opponents, and the FBI should never have allowed itself to be used this way.
But George Washington University law professor Jonathan Turley disagrees. He told VOA that Comey was correct in informing Congress that more investigation would take place into the emails.
Someone can certainly question the timing or even the means of this disclosure, but it is not a violation of federal law.
Turley added that Comey really faced a no-win situation. Businessman Donald Trump, the Republican Party's presidential candidate, used Comey's announcement to support earlier suggestions that Clinton should face criminal charges. He said if Clinton is elected, it would create a constitutional crisis because she would be under investigation while in the White House. Comey's decision came as opinion surveys showed the presidential race tightening up just days before the election. There was more criticism of the FBI this week. On Monday, the Bureau released documents from a 15-year-old closed investigation. The case involved a pardon given in 2001 by then-President Bill Clinton, the candidate's husband. More than 120 pages relating to the pardon of businessman Mark Rich were published on the FBI's Freedom of Information Act website. Bill Clinton pardoned Rich on his final day in office. Rich had been charged with federal crimes, including tax evasion. He fled to Switzerland to avoid trial and lived there in hiding for several years. Rich died in 2013. According to the FBI documents, the investigation focused on whether there was a link between the pardon and a large donation given to the William J. Clinton Foundation. The documents suggest that the donor of $450,000 was Rich's former wife, Denise, although she was not named. Comey was asked to take on the investigation into Rich's pardon in 2003 while serving as the U.S. attorney in New York City. The documents suggest that not all rules were followed during the pardon review process. But the documents did not seem to show any new information about the case, which was closed in 2005 with no charges brought. In a statement to the Associated Press, the FBI denied there was anything unusual about making the Mark Rich documents public. It said the documents were put automatically on the FBI website after several Freedom of Information Act requests were made. Also posted to the same site in early October were documents relating to Donald Trump's father, Fred. One of them was dated 1966, and others were from 1988. The documents mainly listed information about Fred Trump's many investment properties in New York. I'm Brian Lynn.
The reopening of an FBI investigation into Hillary Clinton's email raises questions about the relationship between the Justice Department and FBI, and how the two agencies cooperate. The FBI generally conducts investigations for the Justice Department, which is responsible for enforcing the laws and administering justice. The FBI is an agency based in Washington, D.C. It was started in 1908 by the head of the U.S. Department of Justice at the time, Attorney General Charles J. Bonaparte. The Bureau began as a special investigative force of the Justice Department, with fewer than 35 employees. Today, it remains one of many agencies coming under the Department of Justice. It is also a member of the U.S. intelligence community, a grouping of 16 agencies. These agencies work separately and together on intelligence activities related to U.S. foreign relations and national security. The FBI investigates specific crimes assigned to its agents. It also provides other law enforcement agencies with fingerprint identification services, laboratory examinations, and training. The U.S. President appoints a director for the agency. Barack Obama appointed James Comey in 2013. The appointment takes effect if the U.S. Senate confirms it. FBI directors can serve as long as 10 years, but no longer. The FBI website describes the Bureau as an intelligence-driven and threat-focused national security organization with both intelligence and law enforcement responsibilities. Its mission is to protect the American people, and uphold the United States Constitution. The FBI has 56 locations in major U.S. cities, as well as more than 60 offices around the world. It employs nearly 35,000 people. This includes special agents, intelligence experts, language specialists, scientists, and information technology specialists. An act of Congress created the Department of Justice in 1870. The Attorney General heads the agency. At the time, the government faced increasing legal cases brought against the United States. The Department of Justice website says, "The main goal of the agency is to enforce the law, and defend the interest of the United States according to the law. Loretta Lynch currently leads the Justice Department. She took office in 2015 after President Obama nominated her and the Senate confirmed the nomination. FBI Director Comey reports to Lynch. Comey also has experience at the Department of Justice, where he served as Deputy Attorney General from 2003 to 2005. I'm Katie Weaver.
Tim Kaine is the Democratic Party's vice presidential nominee. He represents the eastern state of Virginia in the United States Senate. Kaine is 58 years old. He is married and has three children. One is a U.S. Marine. When he was a young man, Kaine served as a Catholic religious worker in Honduras. He learned to speak the Spanish language there. He decided to enter public service after seeing poverty in Central America.
La conexión entre Centroamérica y los Estados Unidos en el asunto de inmigración o comercio.
Kaine graduated from Harvard Law School. He has served on local, state, and national levels of government as a city councilman, mayor, lieutenant governor, governor, and U.S. senator. He worked as a civil rights lawyer for 17 years. During that time, for 6 years, he also taught at a law school. Kaine has called himself boring. Experts say he was a safe choice to be Hillary Clinton's running mate. He is well-liked and considered free of scandal. Many people think he is a centrist, supporting political positions that are neither very liberal nor very conservative. However, his congressional voting record represents a mostly liberal thinking. Kaine says he has learned from difficult experiences.
These are tough times for many in our country, but we're tough people, and that's something else I learned from my folks. Tough times don't last, but tough people do.
Kaine says one of his most difficult times as a public official was in 2007 when he was governor. A mass shooting took place at a university in Virginia. A mentally ill student killed 32 people and himself in the attack. Following the tragedy, Kaine worked to reform the state's mental health system. I'm Alice Bryant.
This is What's Trending Today. The Chicago Cubs have won baseball's World Series. It was the Cubs' first World Series win since 1908. On Thursday, the hashtag CubsWin trended across the United States. For more than 100 years, the Cubs have been known as lovable losers. The team has many fans all across the country, but it never seems to be able to win big games. That all changed early Thursday morning in Cleveland, Ohio. The Cubs defeated the Cleveland Indians 8-7 just after midnight to win the World Series. The year 2016 is turning out to be a year of unexpected winners in sports. when the Leicester City soccer team won England's championship earlier this year, some people explained its significance to American fans by comparing it to the Cubs winning the World Series. In other words, it was not expected to happen at all. One of the top posts on Twitter is a photo of the sign-in sheet at a Chicago area elementary school. It shows that many parents told the school their child was late because they stayed up to watch the Cubs win. Many people also liked a video showing the message board outside of Wrigley Field. That is where the Cubs play their home games in Chicago. When the game ended, the board changed to "Cubs win," and thousands of people celebrated. And that's what's trending today. I'm Dan Friedel.
When politicians give speeches, they talk about any number of things, such as their beliefs, personal history, or opinions on major issues. Politicians have to be careful about how they present their ideas. They want to direct the attention of individual listeners or larger audiences toward important ideas and words. But they also try to limit or avoid unnecessary information. How do they do this? One way is to put together sentences in a reasonable way. In an earlier Everyday Grammar program, we explored how politicians sometimes use deliberate sentence fragments for a rhetorical effect. Today, we explore another strategy politicians often use to present ideas: sentence cohesion.
The word cohesion suggests the action of making something whole. In writing, this means presenting sentences that are related to each other in a reasonable or logical way. When sentences are cohesive, they slowly build on an idea until it reaches a clear point. Consider this example. Imagine you are reading the following sentences.
I go to work early every day. Classic films are my favorite. English is a fun, if difficult, language to learn.
This short paragraph is not cohesive. How do you know? The ideas are not connected to each other. The first sentence talks about a custom, something the writer or speaker is doing every day. The second is about a personal preference. The third expressed an opinion about the English language. The example is difficult to read because there is no logical continuation between ideas. Instead, a different idea is raised in each sentence. Lack of cohesion can cause the reader or listener to stop paying attention. Politicians have to avoid this mistake at all costs. They may have to deal with different issues, but they cannot spend too much time on any subject because they might lose their audience.
So, what does cohesion look like? We can look to the American election campaign for examples of sentence cohesion. The main candidates for president,
Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton have used cohesion to develop and present ideas. Consider these examples. Here is Trump accepting the presidential nomination of the Republican Party.
Then there's my mother, Mary. She was strong, but also warm and fair-minded. She was a truly great mother. She was also one of the most honest and charitable people that I have ever known, and a great, great judge of character.
And here is Hillary Clinton accepting the Democratic Party's nomination.
My mother, Dorothy, was abandoned by her parents as a young girl. She ended up on her own at 14 working as a housemaid. She was saved by the kindness of others.
Both candidates use cohesion to make their points. Consider Trump's statement. He speaks about his mother, Mary, and then uses the pronoun she when talking about her in later sentences. This is one example of cohesion, writing a topic sentence and then repeating the subject in every sentence of the paragraph. This makes it clear that you are receiving more information about the same subject.
Clinton uses a similar idea in her statement. She said,
My mother, Dorothy, was abandoned by her parents as a young girl. She ended up on her own at 14 working as a housemaid. She was saved by the kindness of others.
Here, Clinton uses a similar idea to begin her sentences. She introduces her mother, Dorothy, in the first sentence and then provides more information about her in the following sentences. The final sentence, "She was saved by the kindness of others," is especially important. Hillary Clinton could have said, "The kindness of others saved my mother." Why did she say it the way she did? Using the passive voice enabled Clinton to use the pronoun she at the beginning of the sentence. This means that the sentences look and sound the same. They begin with she. Both Clinton and Trump used a similar grammatical structure. The beginning of each sentence presents known information, the pronoun she, and the end of each sentence presents new information.
Grammar expert Martha Kohn had a name for this structure. She called it the known-new contract. In other words, English speakers generally present known information in the beginning of a sentence and new information at the end of a sentence. What is the rhetorical effect of this grammatical structure? Here is one possible answer. Both presidential candidates are able to show voters that they are more than just politicians. They are normal people, too. By giving personal information about their families, they hope to show that they can relate to voters. In other words, the candidates want to show that they share values, a great respect for family, that many voters like to see in political candidates.
And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson.